demands my life. My soul, my all. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ, my Lord. The Prince of Glory. The Prince of Glory. Demands me. It demands me. There is something about the gospel. There is something about the crucified one that is an ecstasy. It's an eternal moment. He was crucified before the foundation of the world. And in Revelation, he was the lamb that was slain on the throne. There is something in that moment that God wants to reveal in this generation. Something about him. It was not an accident. It was planned. It was planned. It was a premeditated murder. It pleased the Father to wound him. He himself provided the lamb. He himself provided a pure and spotless lamb. And there's a moment there that you can gravitate your whole life towards. There is a source of incomparable ecstasy. The mystics in Christian history, the saints, it was during the eating of the host, communion, that many of them would go into ecstasies and raptures. When they ate that wafer, well, Joseph of Copertina wasn't allowed to have public communion for 30 years because of his flights. They had to give him a separate communion table all on his own because he would be ravished by the love of God and float off the ground and sometimes spend hours in ecstasy. And yet the miracles that came from his life, how he healed the sick and impacted a generation. He would go outside sometimes and people would rip at his clothes because of the glory on him, and his clothes would reform. He had the fragrance of sanctity where people could smell him before they saw him. Spreading the fragrance of Christ. And there's something in this moment that's a prize. And we've rushed communion. Pass me the little slice of bread. Pass me the little cup. Hey, And yet it's a feast. It's a feast. It's a feast. Eat the whole lamb. They had to eat the whole lamb on Passover. He has to be eaten in his entirety. Whoa. He said, this is my body. This is my body broken for you. When you eat this, you will not die. You will not perish. This cup is my blood. When you drink this blood, you'll not die. I believe there's a company on the earth today that aren't going to die. Because he's restoring the feast. He is 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 restoring the feast. The feast. The feast. The lamb. The lamb. The lamb. The lamb. The lamb. Wow. The Passover lamb. And there is something about this. This place. This place. Where you clearly see him as crucified. Where you clearly see him. Clearly you see him. You see. You see him. You see him. You see that blood. You see that love. It becomes a drink. It becomes the mystic door. The gateway. Hide me in the cleft in the rock. That's the wound in his side. You were birthed out of the wound, even as Eve was birthed out of Adam's side. Eve was birthed out of Adam's side. You would be birthed out of Jesus at that moment. And there's such wonder on that moment. God wants to put the wonder back into that moment. It's a place that you could come back to every single day. You know those, the old mystics, they would see pictures of Jesus on the wall, on the cross, and they would be in ecstasy. I got a cross with Jesus on it now. I was one of those Christians that used to say Jesus isn't on the cross. And that's true. But he's on the cross as well. He's on the cross. How could you not look at it and something not happen to you? You sit there in your prayer room and you look and you think. And you drink, something happens. Something, you get sucked in. You get sucked in. It's like a black hole that sucks you in to bliss. Wow. You slide in. It's slippery. You start to slip. And every single one of his disciples was martyred. Except John, who possibly skipped death. We don't know what happened to him. He's probably somewhere hanging out, waiting for Jesus to return. I was reading the other day about one of the disciples. I think it might have been Andrew, when he saw the cross, the ecstasy that he had. How I've waited for you, my cross. Peter saw the cross and said, I can't be crucified the same as Jesus. Put it upside down. Crucify me upside down. They went all the way to Britain. One of the disciples, they think, made it to the UK. This will possess you. This will overmaster you. This love will leave you no choice. This love will possess you. This love will overmaster you. This love will make you outside of yourself in ecstasy. And so many of the mystics talked at this moment. Teresa of Avila said that Jesus appeared to her many times. Sometimes he would appear with a crown of thorns on his head, but glorified the wounds. Francis of Assisi was on the mountain when he was 43, I think it was. And Jesus appeared to him as the crucified one. And he was ravished by the ecstasy of seeing Jesus. And a light came on the mountain that the shepherds and people saw for miles around. A glow irradiated from the crucified one. And when that happened, and he came out of this incomprehensible ecstasy, Francis of Assisi bore on his body the wounds of Christ. And he tried to hide it, but when he died, people came from miles around to see his body. Whoa. 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 When you look at him, you don't know whether to laugh or cry. How could you not love him with all your heart and soul and mind and strength? How could you not love him? I consider everything as rubbish. I consider everything, all the things that used to be my gain, I now count but loss. The things that defined me, the things that I thought were my merit, I now count as rubbish compared to the incomprehensible, all-surpassing greatness of knowing Christ, my Lord. I want to know Christ. And the fellowship, the union of sharing in that bliss of his sufferings. I want to know the incomprehensible ecstasy of his sufferings. When the disciples were whipped, it said they were overjoyed. Overjoyed! I had a whipping today for Jesus! They were overjoyed. Overjoyed to be whipped. Yeah. This will do something to you. This will do something to you. He has to possess you. He has to possess you. Paul said, I consider myself, the way I think of myself, as having died. I have been co-crucified together with Christ. When he died, I died. I consider the man that I used to be was strung up with him. Strung up, crucified, co-planted into his death. And now I no longer live. 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 But Christ, Christ, the crucified one, Christ lives in me. He lives in me. I was co-planted into his death. He took that death as mine. He took that as mine. Whoa, yeka musie. I consider myself as having died. He also said this. He said, if we are besides ourselves, if we are standing outside of ourselves in ecstasy, if I am out of my mind, it's all God's fault. It's all because of God. If I'm trying to be sober, it's for you, because I've had a revelation that in him, I died. I died. All have died. I've been crucified to the world. The world has been crucified to live. To me, and now I am a new creation. I am a brand new world. I am a new being. I am a new man. The man that I used to be was strung up on him. It's over. It's finished. He has finished it. He has crucified that person that I used to be. And now not only am I new, but the world around me is new. Now the law doesn't apply to me. Death doesn't apply to me. The laws of the world do not apply to me. For I am enjoying, Galatians 2:20, the Stell translation, enjoying a new existence. Enjoying union, melding. Melted into him like two candles becoming one candle. Mystically united with Christ. And they wonder why we're out of our minds. And they wondered why they couldn't contain the church. Praising in the jail until it shakes. Yeah. Co-crucified, I consider myself as having died. Oh, the meditation of that, I can't tell you. I can't tell you. I wanted to paint. I've never painted it. I wanted to paint because of that one verse. I consider myself as having died. His wounds are my wounds. His death was my death. There's such ecstasy on it. There's just ecstasy on it. I can't explain it. I can't explain it. You've got to get this in your heart. You've got to get this in your spirit. There is ecstasy, 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 ecstasy in this. Endless ecstasy. Endless bliss, endless joy. Here is love, vast as the ocean. But this thing that's been getting me is that I consider myself as having died. I died. The man that I used to be was strung up with him. Co-planted into the tomb. Ah. Oh. It's awesome. It's awesome. He did it for us. This is what the message says. Since we've compiled this long and sorry record as sinners and proved that we are utterly incapable of living the glorious life God wills for us, God did it for us. Out of sheer generosity, he put us in right standing with himself, a pure gift. He got us out of the mess we're in and restored us to where he always wanted us to be. And he did it by means of Jesus Christ. Peter said this. Oh, this is amazing. God. He said this. Peter, the man who knew what it was like to be a screw up. He said this. In 1 Peter 2:24, he said, he used his servant body. He used his servant body to carry our sins to the cross so we could be rid of sin, free to live the right way. His wounds became our healing. The message says that God sacrificed Jesus on the altar of the world to clear that world of sin. Having faith in him sets us in the clear. God decided on this action in full view of the public to set the world in the clear with himself through the sacrifice of Jesus, finally taking care of the sins he had so patiently endured. This is not only clear, but it is now. This is current history. God sets things right, and he also makes it possible for us to live in his rightness. Galatians 2:20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I consider myself as having died, and now I'm enjoying a second existence, which is simply Jesus using my body. Romans 6, verse 6. For if we've become one with him by sharing a death like his, we shall also be one with him in sharing his resurrection by a new life lived for God. Another translation, Young's. This, knowing that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of the sin may be made useless. Oh, I love the gospel. I love it. I love it. I love it. I make no apologies. I know there's controversy. I know there's mistakes being made. I know some things are being preached out of balance right now. Some things are being dismissed that they shouldn't be dismissed. But at the core is a truth that I am convinced is going to revolutionize this generation. I don't care how many mistakes are being made right now, and mistakes are being made, but this is going somewhere. This is going somewhere. This is going somewhere. This is going somewhere that's going to take us out of where we've been into the new reality, the eternal realm on earth now as it is in heaven. A company of burning hearts, Joel's army, that are consumed by the ecstasy of what he has done and who he is and being unified together with Christ. Not needing a lineup, Toronto style, although I honor that. I went to the Toronto School of Ministry. I love those guys. But I have learned there is a transcendent reality that we can connect to. Where you are filled when you are making a cup of tea. You are filled when you are in the garden. You are filled when you're trying to buy your hair gel. You are filled when you're in the car. You are filled when you're in bed and you're praying in your sleep. And no one can take it away from you. And no one can add to it. No one can add. Nobody can fill this up. He is like, it's like a spring. I talked about this morning. We come with our offerings. We come with our worship. And it's like we bring a bucket and think, I'll pour it on the spring. I'll pour it on the fountain spring. This flourishing and breaking through. He said that you are the spring of life. You are the fountain of life. That's what the psalmist said. And everything we can have, all it is just adding to that. So how do you honor a spring? If there was a beautiful spring here, would I honor it by bringing my bucket and pouring my bucket on this wonderful, flourishing, replenishing, life-giving spring that's bursting? No, do you know how I honor the spring? I bow down and I honor it by drinking it. I drink it. I drink what he has done. I drink who he is. And he becomes glorified in me because I have drunk. And I have found a spring. You think that your jug can sustain me? You think your cup can give me what this spring's given me? This spring out of your belly will come rivers. How could they be stranded on the Isle of Patmos yet still be full of glory? I've heard people say it's hard in different places. It's hard here, it's hard there. It's hard in Wales. I don't care. I don't care. We make it spring. We make it bloom. We make it shift. Do you think the disciples looked at our pagan shores and thought, Britain's a hard nut to crack? Did they look at France, the Huguenots, and think France is a tough place? The Celtic saints, 12 of them, I think, or 8 of them came over to Pickland in Scotland. Bamba. Did you know the stories? Me and God. You and God. Him and you. You and me. Him and all together. Mystically united. Is it tough for this? I mean, who's going to stop this spring? Are you going to put a cork in it? You going to cork Niagara Falls? Are you going to cork Niagara Falls? And they say it's dry. We need to realize and position ourselves. Are you getting this? Because I've been drunk a long time and I'm trying to help other people. I've gone to minister places and they've said, do you need pre-meeting prayer? Do you need pre-meeting prayer where they pray for you before the meeting just in case you need prayer? I've had to whack them up to shut them up. It's like, you don't understand. I went to Lakeland when the outpouring was going on, and I was staying with one of the guys that was involved in organizing Lakeland. I got to go behind the scenes. I was so whacked. They were worried about me. They were actually worried about me. Two of Todd's guys were going, are you all right, man? You okay? You all right, man? I was like, dude, I was like this before I got here. I'm behaving for you guys. I'm pulling back from the edge. Well, one time we were in the healing rooms in Atlanta preaching and the angels showed up and we started carting around on the floor trying to get away from them. They were tickling us. So we were hiding under chairs. Do you know what they tried to do? Tried to cast the devil out of us. Which world do they live in? Which world do they live in? They live in a world where the devil's running around trying to tickle you in a meeting. I said to the School of Ministry this morning, I stood up in the train station in Brussels, crowded with all these people in the food theatre, and I said, I had two different translations, French and Dutch, I think they were. And I stood up and I said, can everybody be quiet? I'm going to be here for 5 minutes. If you need a healing in your body, heaven's at hand right now. And these security guards came over and the Lord said, against such things there is no law. So they walked up to me and said, you can't do that. I said, against such things there is no law. They went, yeah, you're right, actually. There is not actually a law against healing people yet. Whoa. They couldn't stop it. At the train station, they couldn't stop it. Hands were going up everywhere. So these security guards were following me around saying, if he prays for you, you'll have to give up drugs. You know this, don't you? That's not good. You love drugs? And I was like, whose side are you on? Anyway, this woman full of devils came up to me and she wanted to pray for me. I could see devils all around her. She was full of devils. I put my hands out. The team were freaking that were with me. And it was like, I said, give it your best. She prayed for me. I was like, I've got a spring. Don't you know, Niagara Falls, little cup. Her anointing, little cup. The cross, vast as the ocean. Her highest level, a cup. My continual level, Niagara Falls. Do you realize how powerful you are? Who you are, that you become something else. Niagara Falls. Spring. Do you think that worship fills the spring up? Worship's you drinking it. The reality of him, so that his life is in you, his joy is in you, his bliss is in you, his holiness is in you. You become a mini him. You look like him and sound like him. You are him. He possesses you. You become an oracle. You become a living word. You carry the realm of heaven. You bring heaven to earth. Where's heaven going to end up? Isaiah saw it. He said that the earth was going to be planted on, heavens was going to be planted on the foundation of the earth. Jesus said, pray this, that heaven comes on earth. On earth, it's all going to happen. On earth is where it's all happening. Listen to this. For we are convinced that the person we used to be was strung up with Christ, that the sinful nature may be wiped out and we no longer need to be addicted to sin. So I looked up lots of different translations of this and everyone says the same. King James, sin is destroyed. Amplified, sin is ineffective and inactive. NASB, sin is done away with. Darby, sin is annulled. ESV, it's brought to nothing. Holman, it's abolished. Phillips, sin is broken. Worldwide English translation, it has lost its power. The message says this, could it be any clearer? I love the message, could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ's. I make no apologies for preaching this. This has become life to me. This has become life to me. It has. It's become an ecstasy for me. Do I believe in going for more? Yeah. Do I believe in contending for different things in the spirit? Yeah. But this is where it all happens. Here, this is this revelation. This is the place. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ. A decisive end to that sin, miserable life. Yeah. a decisive end so that we're no longer at sin's every beck and call. What we believe is this. What we believe is this. What I believe as a Christian is this. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. It was the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. This is awesome. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him. I love that. Sin, I'm taking you down. Sin, I'm taking you down. Yes. But check this. What does God do when he's alive? If that's what he does when he dies. It says, alive, he brings God down to us. He brings God down to us. He goes up into heaven in his life and says, Papa, I am taking you down there. I am taking you down with me. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language. It's like Latin. Sin is Latin. Sin is Latin. Sin is Latin. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to me. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to me. God speaks your mother tongue. And you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. And that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. This is what the Distilled Version says this. Listen to this. Temptations and struggles will be experienced, but there's a new force within. There's a new force. The force is strong with this one. There is a new force within. A new heart. A new uplifting emotion. The tragic, endless circle of human history is broken. Circle of human history is broken. Now there is an eternal circle of salvation and victorious life. But we who are dead are also alive. We arose with him. He died out death. We live his life. So The love of Christ controls and urges and impels us because we are of this opinion and conviction that if one died for all, then all have died. 2 Corinthians 5:13 says this, if we are outside of ourselves in ecstasy, it's because of God. For if I be mad, it's for God's cause. If I am mad, it's for God's cause. This is what it looks like when heaven comes down. This is what it looks like when we sing heaven songs. This is what it sounds like. Oh. Well, if I'm sober, it's for you, for the love of Christ compels, urges, it scratches away at me, it constrains us. The love of God overmasters, rules and controls us and leaves us no choice. The very spring of my action, the very spring of who I am, the very spring of who I've become is the love of God. It is the spring of everything I am. Therefore, if anyone is in union with Christ, he is a new being. The Philip says this, for if a man is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. The NEB says this, when anyone is united to Christ, there is a new world. Conanby, his old life has disappeared. It's vanished. The Phillips, the past is finished and gone. And everything has become fresh and new. NEB, the old order has gone and a new order has already begun. You got to let it out. I love this. This is one of my favorite verses. I meditate on this. It's always on my phone when I open it. It says this, your union with his death broke that association with that world. This is the bit I love. It says this. Oh, I love this. It's in Colossians 3. It says, the secret of your life now is the fact that you are wrapped up with Christ in God. Wrapped up. I'm wrapped up. Blended. The Amplify puts it like this. Even so, consider yourself also dead to sin and your relation to it's broken. I've broken up with sin. You've had a breakup. You used to go out with sin. The Bible says you used to be married to sin, but when you died with Christ, your marriage contract ended. When you die, you're no longer married, yeah? When Jesus died and you died with him on the cross, you ended your marriage contract with sin. You broke up. You broke up. So consider your relation to it broken, but alive to God, living. Listen to this. This is amplified. Romans 6:11. Alive to God, living in unbroken fellowship with him. So it's unbroken fellowship now. Full access every single day, every single night, every single moment you are in unbroken access, mystic union with his spirit, the two becoming one. Paul said it was a great mystery. He said when a man and a woman marry, they become one flesh. But I'm not talking about marriage. I'm talking about Christ and his church. That you have become, you've got a soul tie. You have a powerful, constraining soul tie with God. You are mystically united with God. You are jacked into God, plugged into God, blended into God, wrapped into God. You are the product of God's love. He restored you to his original thought, to belong to him exclusively. You are now in an exclusive relationship. Okay? You used to be in this gnarly relationship with sin and death. You've now broken up. And now you are back to the original thought, Colossians 3:12, to belong to him exclusively. You are now in an exclusive relationship. That's good news. I'm almost done. So what does this produce? Buttery fatness. Buttery fatness is the consequence of this. I believe in putting on weight in the glory. I believe in the fatness, okay? The Moffat translation of Hebrews 9:11 says, Christ arrived as the high priest of the bliss. Okay? 1 Corinthians 5 says this, Christ, God's Lamb, has been slain for us. This is what the Bible really says. It says, so let us feast upon him. This is what Jeremiah said about this day. I will soak the souls of the priests with butterfat. I will soak the souls of the priests with butterfat and satisfy my people with goodness. The message, Psalm 68, when the righteous see God in action, they'll laugh, they'll sing, they'll laugh and sing for joy. I love this. Romans 8:30 in the Amplified. And those he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity. He has made you dignified. Do you know what his plan is? The master plan that he's got is spreading his bliss. It says the knowledge of his goodness is going to cover the earth. His goodness is his glory. His glory is his goodness. His goodness is his bliss. His goodness is his joy. To be infinitely glorious is to be infinitely happy. Consider that. So the knowledge of his glory, which is his infinite happiness in himself, because he's perfect and wonderful and overflowing as a spring, the knowledge of his goodness, the knowledge of his kindness, the knowledge of his bliss, the knowledge of his joy, the knowledge of who he is going to cover the earth. As the waters cover the sea. He is going to take nations through the buttery love of heaven. Because perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love puts you in ecstasy. Perfect love transforms the human heart. Perfect love dignifies humanity. He's coming to give us heavenly dignity. A new state of being. Wow. Enjoying a new existence. That is the gospel. The bliss of the man whose sin has been put out of sight. The bliss of the man whose sin will never, ever, 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 ever be counted against them. We're about to see the goodness of the Lord in a way we have never believed. And it says at the end times that as God lays that foundation, there'll be shouts of grace and grace. Where sin increased, grace increases all the more. Niagara Falls just gets bigger. You turn.